being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Adam Hopkins. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy WrestleMania season. We are a week away from WrestleMania TakeOver, Hall of Fame, Raw, and SmackDown. I look forward to seeing many of you there. And without any further ado, I'm going to turn things over to WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent, Live Events, and Creative, Paul Levesque.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Busy, exciting time heading into WrestleMania week this year in our backyard of New York, New Jersey, with MetLife Stadium and Barclays and everything else that is, you know, sort of our backyard and our home of the WWE. This is an exciting card, and I know I say that a lot. The challenge is to always get to where you can top what you've done before, but I really feel like this is one of the biggest shows we've ever done. Top to bottom just feels special. And, you know, that's really saying something coming out of the situation with Tommaso Ciampa and an unfortunate, you know, situation of a speeding up of an injury that needed to be taken care of, and us having to sort of re-chart a course this close to the event. But it speaks to the depth of the talent and everything else, and their passion and commitment that we can do it in a seamless manner. And while I hate the fact that Johnny and Tommaso are not being able to pay off what has been a very long emotional storyline ride for them, it is what it is, and we will head in a different direction that feels honestly epic in this moment. I know I use that word a lot here, but it just does. It feels, it was a moment where at the end of that taping, Michael Hayes and Shawn Michaels and I looked at each other and said, wow, it feels almost just as big. So excited about it. Obviously the Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole match, 2 out of 3 falls for the NXT championship. In the women's, just 4 of the most talented women in the industry, period. Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler, who has just, you know, changed the entire landscape for me of NXT and the women's division. And then Kairi Sane and Io Shirai, who just, you can't say enough good stuff about them. For the UK championship, Pete Dunne, who has just, you know, exemplifies that brand and has an unbelievable future. And Walter, new to us, but obviously big impact. And that's a match that I'm looking forward to being something special. For the North American Championship, Velveteen Dream versus Matt Riddle, 2 unbelievable performers, definitely the future of the business, period. And then the NXT Tag Team Championship match between the War Raiders and Aleister Black, Ricochet, who have been on a tear, even on the main roster on both Raw and SmackDown as of late. Doing sort of triple duty, so to speak. It should be an epic card. I can go down that card and say I could make a prediction that every single one of them steals the night, possibly the week. So with that said, I'll open it up to calls to you because this is just an exciting week for the NXT brand that I just can't wait to get into. So let's open it up.
All right, everybody, usual rules apply. 1 question and 1 follow-up, please, per outlet.
If you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll take our first question from Brian Fritz of Sporting News. Please go ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks again for doing this.
Sure, man, thank you.
I wanted to talk about Tommaso Ciampa because I think some people, I know I was a little bit surprised to see him debut on the main roster in February, and the timing that went into that, there was already some talk that he was injured. I don't think we knew the severity of it. So what went into the decision of having him go to the main roster at that time, and what was known about his injury at that time? Because looking back in hindsight, it seems kind of strange now knowing that he needed surgery.
Yeah, so it was obviously we knew about it. We knew that was going to be a necessity going forward. But the decision was still made that let's do this with the main roster. Let's give him that exposure. He'll take some time off. We'll use that in whatever way we can. He'll take the time off, get fixed up, and be back and be better than ever. And move forward from there. Unfortunately, you know, with the type of injury he had, it went from one thing to another very rapidly. And, we couldn't wait. It sort of changed from being something that was manageable to being something that we just, you know, this is not a risk we're willing to take for anything. So we just moved to him immediately doing the surgery at that point in time and starting on the road to recovery. So a lot of thought put into all the conversations, but clearly something we knew about. And there was a plan for him on all aspects of it, including the, you know, he's going to need to take some time off down the road here very soon to get this fixed.
So basically was the plan just, hey, we think we can get him through takeover, but then once doctors looked at him a little bit closer, they said, hey, this is something that needs to be taken care of right now. This is serious, and he cannot wrestle until, you know, this is settled, and come to find out that he was going to be on the shelf longer than you anticipated.
Well, no. So we knew the length of time probably that it was going to take for a return anyways. But as you're looking at this, right, like there are certain things that are manageable and you can manage the situation, and there's no risk, no damage, no anything. You're just managing the symptoms and the situation and getting to where you want to have. You know, it's something that you're going to have to take care of eventually, right? Then that situation changed. It just, instead of being manageable, it progressively got worse. As soon as we saw it progressively getting worse, we realized the situation was not something that was manageable for us, and for him. And we made the decision to go in the direction that we did.
We will now take our next question from Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com. Please go ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
So close to first.
You're not first, you're last, Mike.
It happens. I wanted to talk about the ripple effect of the Ciampa injury, in that obviously there was a plan in place for Johnny Gargano. While we've seen Aleister Black and Ricochet on the main roster, Gargano's kind of disappeared from Raw and SmackDown. Was there a decision made to rescind him being called up because of the Ciampa deal, maybe to try and preserve the storyline for later on? And, how much of a preparation and change in preparation happens when you know there are people who are leaving and suddenly now they're back on the NXT brand?
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely, from the NXT standpoint, it was a full-on creative shift. Once the Ciampa injury takes place and we realize that we have to reboot some things, then there are a lot of thoughts and ideas that come out of it, and then those decisions are made, right? And they involved a lot of different things, from Gargano's main roster opportunity to NXT's opportunities, everything else. So a lot of different things are thrown out there, and then they're discussed, and we pick the direction that we did. And where it goes from here, you know, obviously you will have to wait and see. But a lot of thought and idea, you know, effort and ideas go into that. There's a lot of things that are thrown around and like ideas in different directions to go. And then you determine the best one.
What's that conversation like with Vince McMahon where it's, hey, I know you want Gargano, but we need him and you can't have him yet? Look, like, how does that conversation go down? Is it more of an argument? Is it more of a debate? Or how does that conversation flow?
No, that's not a conversation at all where I go, like, it can't happen. All of this stuff, and this is where I think people get confused about the relationship. None of this stuff happens without Vince's sign-off or approval in some manner, right? Like, it's all one team, and it's all for the betterment of the product and the talent in general, right? So it's not about, well, this or that, or, you know, NXT is this, you can't have that, and we need this, and we're going to take it from you, so you can't have that. It's not that at all. It's a creative synergy between both. you know, when something unfortunate, whether it's this situation or any other, you know, in our business, that's just a reality. Things happen. And when they happen, everybody has to sit down, come up with a whole bunch of different suggestions about different ways to go and how to get around this and solve it and do it in the best manner possible. I often say that sometimes the best things come out of that chaos. Like chaos, for whatever reason, sometimes creates this beautiful storyline. And some of the storylines that have happened over time that I think are ones that are the best ones came out of, we were planning to go here, then some unfortunate series of events happen, and you go like, ugh, well, we have to reboot, but what if we did this? Oh my God, that's even better. Like, you know, it just happens that way. It's an internal conversation about what is best for everyone. It's just reasonably talked about. We all make decisions, and obviously they're dominoes, so they affect everything. What, you know, affected Raw, it affected SmackDown, it affected where they were thinking about going, then that affected NXT and where we were thinking about going. So it's just kind of a reshift. You come up with a bunch of different ideas, and everybody gets to a point where we all sign off on them, and Vince goes, absolutely, this sounds great, good plan, here we go.
All right. Thanks for the time.
We will now take our next question from Lyle Kerr of Daily Mirror. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So this January, WWE Open Day Performance Centre in London. What's your assessment of the progress of the UK Centre, and are you able to monitor the British talent easily from the US?
Yeah, so, you know, we get feedback on them all the time, and obviously I'm watching them progress in the show. It's been really great for us so far, and the difference in the talent on their ability to execute things from a television standpoint and from a distribution standpoint that they weren't able to do before. Every time we're there, I see improvements in them. It's funny. I just got a candid photo from one of the talents the other day. They just all had some time off. They're all at the beach together, and they all took a photo and sent it from the beach. You know, they all were in phenomenal shape. A bunch of guys that weren't in phenomenal shape necessarily 6 months ago. It was a thing for me where, like, well, the strength and conditioning, the programming, and sending it to these guys and having them you know, participate in that is really paying off for them, which is going to help their careers long term, you know, not just aesthetically, but like it helps. The better shape you're in, the more durability you have, right? The better for your career and helping you stay hopefully injury free. All those things are the benefits of everything we're doing. And you know, it's been paying off dividends, but also there's a lot of unseen payoffs that Performance Center will have for us in the long term, which you'll be able to see over the next few years as time goes on as well.
Fantastic. Thank you. Alongside NXT TakeOver next weekend, you'll also be putting your career on the line in a no-holds-barred match against Batista. The two of you have battled numerous times in the past, including at WrestleMania. What will be different about this encounter?
You know, I think that when you get to what's different for both of us, I think at this point in time, is doing this much for the enjoyment of doing it is different than the what we were doing it for then. I think that our ability to sit back and enjoy it, but that's from us on a personal standpoint. It's an opportunity for Dave to finish out the way he wanted to finish out his career and his run. And as Dave has gone on and become a movie star in his own right and done a lot of big things, I think it was important for him to have sort of this closure and kind of come back and live that one more moment. And, you know, he was something that he's wanted to do for a few years, and he's really excited to do it. And I'm excited that he asked me to do it with him and have the opportunity to do it. Hopefully, we're going to be able to go out there and be intense and deliver something that fans, whether new fans or whether fans from that period of time, enjoy.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. Please go ahead.
Yeah,
hey, Jason.
Paul, with the SmackDown taping, or just SmackDown in general, I should say, moving to Fridays in October, that's obviously going to change the WrestleMania schedule going forward. If you have your way, would you rather hold the TakeOver show on the Thursday or Saturday next year?
Well, I think from a live event standpoint and from, I mean, just speaking off the top of my head, like I think that a weekend, just from a, as people go to events and watch things on the network and everything, a Saturday is probably better than a Thursday. But obviously that's something we're working through now of the dates and when things will be and be on sale. The shift to SmackDown to Fridays and being on Fox and broadcast and everything, it fundamentally shifts a lot of things for us. So that's all stuff we've been doing a lot of work on since the moment that deal was announced. And we'll do it right probably to and beyond the moment we do that first show. It's going to change a lot of what we do, and there's a lot of work to be done on what that means.
And also with Sasha and Bayley saying they'll defend the WWE women's tag titles against NXT talent, is that an indication that we won't be seeing NXT women's tag titles anytime soon?
I would say never in this scenario, but right now where you have the ability to, for those tag titles to run across all brands, if it stays that way, then I'm not sure you would have the need for it, but we would see. You know, a lot of times it comes down to having a depth of a roster to be able to have a singles and a tag division and, you know, and everything else, and not have it be just one or two teams and randomly put together groups or whatever it is. So we would want to make sure that we have the depth of talent and everything else to be able to deliver to all the brands if they have tag titles, if they don't, whatever that is, but to be able to deliver on all levels to all of them and making sure you can do that before you just say, oh, wouldn't it be neat to have tag titles, you know?
Very good. Have fun at the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Jim Barcelone of Miami Herald. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Hey, as the NXT brand has grown, have the numbers increased in the amount of signees these days at the Performance Center from the early days at the center?
In which way do you mean? How many people are there?
Correct, and the amount of talent and signees that are there from the early days compared to now since the brand has grown.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, we obviously it shifts depending on, you know, as we're having tryouts and bringing new people in and recruiting and you know, we just got done a large tryout in India that had about 75 talent at it. We have another coming up in China as we're, you know, bringing in talent from all over the globe as we're continuing to build a pipeline in. Some are continuing to go out. Some don't make it. Some continue to, you know, get called up to Raw or to SmackDown or to shift even, you know, and that will happen more and more over time to shift to the UK or to shift to hopefully other brands down the line. The ability to be able to move it all around. But, you know, the Performance Center has grown. It's we have at any given time in the ballpark of a little under 100 talent in the facility there. And then you have, you know, another 30, 40 in the UK. So it's grown exponentially. A large percentage of that is international. You know, I think 45%, somewhere around that is international from 22 different countries. And so there's a lot of mix there, but, you know, it's constantly trying to evaluate the pipeline of people that have a level of experience, and I don't necessarily mean they necessarily came in with experience. They might have come been homegrown, but they get to a level where they have now had the experience that they're at the upper deck or in between. So you want to have the experience that are sort of NXT talent that are on TV all the time. You want to have that kind of next level that's waiting to have the spot open up on NXT. You want to have a group below that that's waiting for that spot, and then a group below that that's just kind of getting started and trying to learn the ropes. It takes time to do this, and constantly having that developmental pipeline of beginner all the way through to doing what they do at takeovers and being a top talent in the world. So you always want to kind of have that mix, but it has grown exponentially. In some ways, the building is full. Yes.
You know, Paul, and with that, have there been talks of increasing the number of house shows, working more with Evolve and even other groups, or even considering developing another brand in the States?
Yeah, so I think that obviously that's stuff that we want to evaluate obviously all the time as we move forward. You know, NXT itself in the U.S. does somewhere in the ballpark of a little under 200 live events a year between Florida. And is there room for growth on that? Yeah. We also want to make sure, though, that it is done in a way that is profitable and not, obviously a drain or anything else. And NXT is a profitable brand from the standpoint of their live events and everything else. So, you know, you constantly want to evaluate that and then make sure that you have the enough talent as call-ups happen and everything else, that you have enough to support all those things. All of that is constantly being evaluated, whether that's additional brands, whether that's, you know, you see us working with Evolve or others, Progress, ICW internationally, those talent opportunities, and it's constantly being evaluated.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Jim.
We will now take our next question from Sean Rossap of Fightful. Please go ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Sean.
We saw that you brought in Stokely Hathaway, and he's got a new name now, but managers being brought into the Performance Center. Maybe talk to me about the mindset of that, how they fit into the Performance Center experience, and maybe what kind of impression he's made on you so far.
Well, he's obviously made an impression. He wouldn't be there. Yeah, look, I think that as the business changes and evolves and you see different talent coming in and out, I know there's been I've heard, chatter for a long time about managers, and I think things are cyclical. They go away, they come back. I think the ability to have management around talent or to have mouthpieces or however you want to say it, When you start to talk about international talent and you bring in a talent that doesn't speak the language of, English, and you're trying to move them into a U.S. product or anything else, the language is important. Being able to speak and perform and talk people into seats and to promote and do everything else is very important. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody's going to learn that skill, and that's something that takes a long time. Learning a second language is not easy, and we do that with a lot of our talent, whether that's they speak English and we're teaching them another language or vice versa, but it doesn't change the fact that it's important. So having people like a Stokely or, Robbie or different people that can do not only management from a character standpoint or be able to deliver that, they can do a lot of other things, and they bring a lot of value to the table other than just, hey, I'm just there to be a mouthpiece for this person.
Also, with the move to Friday night for this NXT, are there any maybe logistical hurdles that you all face in doing that maybe people wouldn't understand or notice upon first glance?
Well, I think that it sort of changes the dynamic of, back-to-back televisions in the same place. And I just give you an example of that is we go to Europe and we do two TV shows back-to-back in London or something like that. We do it here. It changes that because now it's Friday and Monday. It's not back-to-back anymore. It changes the dynamic of a lot of different things. And, It's really almost the best thing you can do at that point is just, you still have to have your plans of the day-to-day going forward, but then to get in a different room, take a clean sheet of paper and say, okay, now what? Let's start over and look at this all over again. And really that's what we're doing. We're constantly, the one thing that people don't give Vince, I think, sometimes a lot of credit for is his ability to shift and morph and become what is needed in the time. And reimagining everything is one of his biggest skill sets. And to be able to go back in and say, okay, he is not afraid to, I'll just use this as an example. He's not afraid to look at the pay-per-view revenue model and say, we're going to rip this up and we're going to start over and we're going to go with an OTT network and we're going to change our entire business model. He'll gamble on himself. He's not afraid to look at everything and say, we need to reboot this whole thing and start over and take a clean sheet of paper and start with it. He has a big saying, first day on the job. If you came in with fresh eyes and looked at everything, would you do it that way? Or would first day on the job, would you do it differently? Because the truth is it stuff shifts every day. And there are lots of things you just do in your life because that's how you always done them, even though there might be better ways to do it. So constantly looking at that, and that's, he's ingrained that in the entire company. And that's what we're doing in this moment as well. You know, and that will be a big part of the reason why it's all successful.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Alex McCarthy of TalkSport. Please go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Well, thanks very much for doing this today.
Sure.
So we've got Walter and Pete Dunne squaring off for the NXT UK title at TakeOver. You know, some might say that would have been a fantastic main event for an NXT UK TakeOver too. Can you give us any indications on the next NXT UK TakeOver, or what the plan will be in regards to how many and how often? Because it appeared as if the first one was a huge success across the board.
Yeah, there'll be announcements coming up on that shortly. I don't want to step on my own announcements. So, we'll be making some announcements going forward on that brand and taking it into the future. You know, the one thing that I wish I could give them more exposure in this weekend, but it's such a big weekend. And these things are planned a year or so in advance, right, of the dates that you have to work with and everything else. But being in New York, I wanted to showcase that UK brand. And the Pete Walter match was a perfect opportunity to do that. You're right. It would have been an epic match for over there. And in some way doesn't mean it won't still be, or and whatever we do next there will be epic, but we'll have some announcements coming up on that soon.
Great. And, you know, we've got 5 matches for TakeOver card, that all look fantastic. For WrestleMania 35, I believe there's 13 announced thus far. You know, you'll be directing traffic on Saturday, but performing on Sunday. As a man who can see both sides, would a card like Mania benefit from less matches and more time like NXT does? You know, I suppose you can see it both ways.
Yeah, look, it's that's a constant battle of giving everybody everything that WrestleMania needs to be, making it important, making everybody have, you know, something to do. If you leave somebody off the card or you don't put this on there, you know, people will say it's disrespectful, or how could they not involve this in the card? But then again, you need to have something for everybody, and you need to have it be a reasonable, I guess, length of time. Like, there's so many factors that go into all of this, and we're constantly evaluating all of them. You know, I like the way takeovers feel and sit. I like leaving them wanting a bit more with that brand. When you get to the end and feeling like you, man, everything was epic and it was, but it wasn't too much. And, you know, but then again, you know, WrestleMania, it's the biggest show that there is. It's, you know, it'll be 75,000 people in MetLife Stadium or so. And, you know, it's epic and it needs to feel that way. And I think it's, hopefully it'll all deliver it, but that's a constant thing that we evaluate and look at, on every level.
Great. Thank you very much, Paul.
We will now take our next question from Ryan Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet. Please go ahead.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, Ryan. I'm good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for asking. So on TV, it seemed like you guys were heading towards Dijakovic versus Keith Lee. And then some reports came out that Keith Lee is dealing with some sort of undisclosed injury. Can you talk about that at all? I mean, is it something that's serious? Is he out for a while?
No, we just had, you know, look, there's constantly things that shift and morph and require us to take different stabs at creative. This is one of those situations. I don't want to get into any of the medical stuff, but yeah, we had to put a pause on it for a second. I wish we could have it in, you know, have that exposure in New York, but it won't be, but we'll continue it, move it down the line and get it where it needs to be. That's a constant in the business. You're constantly, there's issues. It just is what it is.
So was it because of the injury or was it because of creative?
No, we had a situation that made us change some creative.
Okay, that makes sense. And then lastly, I was wondering, with Aleister Black and Ricochet, since they've been going back and forth between the main roster and NXT, if they were to lose the tag team title match, would this possibly be their last takeover event, or would they still be going back and forth between the two?
I think that is to be determined, the nights following WrestleMania and beyond. You know, I think you see that some of the call-ups right now, there's a crisscrossing of stuff that is taking place. I think some of that will settle down after WrestleMania a little bit, but nothing has been written in stone as to where anybody goes, lands, or does anything otherwise. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next question will be the last caller.
We will now take our next final question from Nick Hoseman of Wrestling Inc. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. Hey, thank you very much for taking the time today. Yes, hello. I want to start by asking about NXT star Lars Sullivan. Is there any update on him and if he'll return to NXT or possibly pop up on WWE TV like he was advertised for?
I think that is one of those situations where I will just say you have to wait and see. In this situation, there's much more to come. It's just a wait and see.
Okay. And then lastly here, I wanted to ask you about Sean Waltman. I know he was a guest trainer down at the Performance Center. How'd he do? Where do you see Sean in the mix here after the Hall of Fame?
So we're constantly bringing in talent as we continue to evolve and grow. And as we're, building performance centers and brands and everything else under the sun, having people that can have a wealth of knowledge for this is a constant. We're constantly looking for that. We're constantly looking for coaches, constantly looking for producers, constantly looking for people that can help us evolve and take the brand to the next level. He did extremely well, but we bring a lot of people in and out. The time will see, the future will see where things go. For him, for everybody else, there's a lot of factors that go into being in the system, whether that's being a producer, main roster, whether that's being in the PC, whether that's any of it. There's a certain culture and everything else that goes along with it, and we want to stay true to that. And we see where people come in, we see what their skill sets are, we see where they can fit and what they have interest in doing and what they're, sometimes we bring in somebody that comes in as a guest coach and that's what they're looking to do, come in as a guest coach, come in for a week, impart some of their wisdom that they have on talent, and then go home. And then, bring them back a month or two later and they can impart some more wisdom and talk to talent again. It really depends on what people are looking for. How do they want to be a part of it? And where can we use them? So it's a constant evaluation process, but he did great. It was great to see him, of course. It was like old home days. The day I walked in there and Sean Waltman was there and I turned the corner and of course there was Sean. And then 2 seconds later, Scott Hall walked in the door because he was shooting something with Sean around the ladder match from WrestleMania 10. And, it was like old home days for a minute.
Yeah, that's like the click has taken over the Performance Center. That's awesome.
It felt that way for a minute.
That's cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for the time, Paul.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap up the call.
You know, thank you guys again for your involvement in this. I look forward to this. I know there was a lot of conversation today, obviously, around Tommaso and you know, the injury and, you know, unfortunate. And I can't say enough good stuff about him and his work ethic, the leader he's becoming in the system and everything else. As much as he'll hate me saying that because he wants everybody to think he's a bad guy. You know, we move forward and, but that was talked about a lot. I just want to reiterate the level of everybody that are on this card and, you know, the Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, 2 out of 3 falls taking place there, but the level of talent in the women's match, Bianca, Shayna, Kairi, Io, Pete and Walter coming over from the UK, Velveteen and Riddle, the War Raiders, Aleister and Ricochet. It's just a top-to-bottom epic card that, you know, we go into Barclays Center, which for us kind of was the launching point of, I feel like, the next level of the NXT brand. So it's sort of, even though New York is always WWE's backyard and our home, Barclays is NXT, truly is its home in some manner. And it's exciting to be able to go there and put on this level of show and set the tone for what is sure to be an epic week and weekend. And then that will take us on the flip side of that to going to San Jose on June 8th at the SJSU Event Center there. And that is a place that before we were even doing takeovers, we kind of did the first WrestleMania weekend event where we were just kind of testing the waters. And it sold out and, you know, became this epic event that really, I think, set the brand in motion. So I'm really excited to go back there on June 8th, separate from everything else, no other pay-per-views around it, and just really go in there and kind of put on an event that is epic, but also says thank you to that location for getting us off to such a great start. So, with that said, I will see everybody at WrestleMania. Hopefully after the show, we'll be having a conversation about how epic it was. And I look forward to seeing everybody there. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, everybody. For those that are going to be at WrestleMania and NXT TakeOver, we'll be doing a post show. So we'll grab you from your seats. And for those who will be on the phone, we will send out a confirmation as we get closer. Thanks, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.